I do feel very much in need of your prayers tonight, as always. I know I say that each time, but I mean it. I know without the Lord, no man can preach the gospel, and I feel especially in need tonight of the blessings of the Lord. I will ask you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the Song of Solomon. My mind is upon the first chapter of the Song of Solomon. And I'd like to read in your hearing tonight the first 8 verses of this first chapter. The Song of Solomon, in many people's minds, might be just a letter written by a king to a woman, a love letter, so to speak. Sister Joyce, I may have to move you off the stand, but you let me know if we can't hear you.
No, you're fine.
Okay, you're all right? So we're
yes,
okay.
You're fine.
All right. Begin right at the first verse. I do appreciate the sweet prayer that's been offered and ask each of you just to pray for me tonight. It says, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointments poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent." We have a beautiful letter here. And it's a letter not just written from a man to a woman, but rather part of God's inspired word, written by inspiration of God, written by King Solomon, but not just by Solomon himself, but by the movement of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved Solomon to write this, that we might have it today here at Happy Creek Church, and that God's children down through the generations of time would have it to be able to read. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We also know that Jesus said for them to search the Scriptures, and this was part of what he told them to search. "For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And so the letter that we're reading here tonight, or that part of it that I've read in your hearing, is really a love letter, not just written from Solomon to a woman, but from the Lord Jesus Christ, who Solomon was a type of, to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see in the Scriptures, Jesus has a bride that he made choice of, and that bride he paid a sin debt for, and washed her in his own blood, cleaned her up, made her fit for his fellowship. And what you see in this Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, is the message of the song of Jesus Christ to his church, and the church to Christ. It's a communication, as we have a spiritual mind to understand it. It's a communication between Jesus Christ. When you read about Solomon here in this Song of Solomon, you see that Solomon is a type of Christ. And this one that I read in your hearing about, the one that was called the fairest among women, is talking about the Lord's people. It's talking in particular about the Lord's church. It's talking in particular, I believe tonight, to us as a local, visible assembly of that which is a part of the Lord's church. We meet here tonight as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in his death, we believe in his burial, and we believe in his resurrection. We believe those things not because we got so wise and smart about it, but because the Lord saw fit to open our eyes and our hearts and our understanding, giving us awareness that He is God, giving us an awareness that we need Him, giving us a hunger and a thirst for spiritual things, giving us an appetite for things which, if the Lord had left us in the condition we were in, we would have never had. And as we read this letter, you want to remember, or this song as you read it, you want to remember how much the church here expresses her need of the Lord. And that need is every one of our needs tonight. Those who've been made to know Him, and those who've been made to love Him by His grace. It's a song of songs, which is Solomon's. And we speak of the Bible oftentimes as the book of books. There's no book like the Bible. We speak of the Bible as that inspired Word of God that has been given to us. And we believe also that this Song of Songs is part of that book, part of that which the Lord has given unto us, that tells us about Jesus Christ and His great love for His bride. He says, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Brethren, I want you to know that's the feeling tonight that each and every one of us ought to have in our hearts. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, what is that talking about? It's talking about having an intimate fellowship with the Lord. It's talking about having communion with Him, fellowship with Him. It's talking about enjoying His presence, enjoying His fellowship, and enjoying the communion that we have with Him in a very special way as He sits with us and we come to worship Him. Tonight and today we have, as a people, many people today have recognized the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus rose again from the dead. Brethren, really, tonight should be no different with us than any other night or any other day. We ought to be remembering His death and His burial and His resurrection every single meeting. Every time we come, we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's by His death and His burial and His resurrection that we have a right to come. It's by His death and His burial and His resurrection that we have a want to come. It's by His death and His burial and His resurrection that we even see we have a need of Him. Do you feel your need of Him tonight? I hope and pray you do. If you don't, I can't make you feel that. I can't cause you to feel that. I can preach to you that God's little children have a hunger and a desire. And if you're hungry, I have wonderful good news for those who are hungry and thirsty, those who feel the great need of His manifest presence. But you see, I can't give you the hunger. I can't give you the appetite. I can't give you the life. But I know this, if the Lord's giving you the life, you got the hunger and you got the appetite. And here is the desire that is expressed, and we all ought to express that tonight. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. What I think this is really saying, and believe this is saying, is that I need fellowship with Him tonight. I don't need just to hear about Him and think of Him very abstractly as far away, but I need Him close to me. I need Him near with me. I need to feel His love. I need to feel His presence. I need to know that He cares about me. I need to know that when He died on the cross, that He died for me. I need to feel that. And I need that communion that's close. And when I'm in trouble, I need to know that when I pray, I can be heard. And that and the reason for that is not because of what I do, but because of what He has done for me. You see, I need Him. I know tonight as I come before you that all of my efforts to try to share this with you will be meaningless without the Lord. I know that I could talk about Him and it'll still be cold and dull and dry without the Lord. But I also know when the Lord causes us to really feel His manifest presence, and we can feel the touch of His gentle hand, and we can truly lean on His everlasting arm. Sometimes it's in the midst of trouble that we feel that more than other times. But oh, let it not be that we have to be in some terrible trouble to feel it. May it be tonight here, tonight at this place, that we can have that real close awareness that Jesus wasn't just a historical figure that walked on the shores of time, but He was truly God. He was, yes, history, but that history was the one that walked on the shores of time. Wasn't just some man that people have made up to be something more than what he was. He's everything the Bible says that he is. And I need his fellowship. I need his communion. And whether we recognize it or not, it is he who made the heavens and the earth. He's the one who's Emmanuel, who is God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was all things were made by him, and there's nothing made that was not made by him. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as one full of grace and truth. You see, there's some people tonight who just want you to believe in a Jesus that had no power. Jesus, who was just a man like you and me. Jesus, who walked through this world just like you and I did, with all the faults and failures that you and I have. I tell you 1,000 times no. Our Savior never had a fault, a blemish, a spot. Our Savior was born unlike anyone else was born. He was born of a virgin, and he came into this world. He was born King of the Jews. He didn't grow up to be the King of the Jews. He was born of the Savior. His name was called Jesus for a reason. Not because he wanted to do something, because he was going to save and did save his people from their sins. He came for them, and he came and paid a sin debt we could not pay. And that's the one that I need fellowship with. He says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. You know, we sing that hymn, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than fame or wealth. I'd rather have Jesus. It said, let not the rich man glory in his riches, nor the wise man in his wisdom. Let not the man who's powerful, and it doesn't say that exactly, but let those who trust in riches or power, let them not do it. But let him that glory in this, that he knoweth me, that he knoweth the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, something we have so much to be thankful for is that we have a fellowship and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know we can call on Him and that He's with us, and we can look to Him and He's able to hear us and supply those things that we need. He said, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for thy love is better than wine. You know, wine is intoxicating. Some people think they can't have any fun in this world if they don't have a little bit of wine. It livens the spirit. It'll also give you a bad sickness after all of that wine is done and make you feel like you, well, it has its consequences, doesn't it? Sin for the moment, you can take some pleasure in that. Some people turn to all kinds of things for their pleasure. Some people turn to riches. Some people turn to lust. Some people turn to wine or drugs or some other thing. But I'm telling you, if there's an emptiness in you that's truly an emptiness that comes from God, there's only one who can truly feel that emptiness. Now, some men think everyone has that emptiness spiritually, but the Bible says otherwise. Now, it is only those who've been born of the Spirit that have that spiritual emptiness that only Jesus can fill. And listen, I can't give you that hunger, but if you have that hunger, Jesus said, all you that are hunger and thirst, all you that are head burdened and heavy laden, what did he say? Come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'm telling you, as this one wrote, he says, for thy love is better than wine. And isn't that true? You know, the times we've been able to sit together as a little assembly and have brethren come in and preach to us. Sit together and sing the songs of Zion. They give honor and praise to the Lord. Go to Cracker Barrel and sit down together and eat and have fellowship one with another. And think about the Lord and pray to the Lord and believe that He answers our prayers. We spent a long time tonight talking about problems and mentioning those that were sick, because we believe there's a God who can hear us. And He hears us not because we're worthy of Him to hear us, but because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We believe that He answers prayer. He has answered prayer, hasn't He? Has He not been there with you? And I want you to know it's not just because He answers prayer. Sometimes He may not answer it just the way we want Him to answer, but He's still King and He's still Lord and He's worthy of our praise. We know this, that all things that He does work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we can have a great rest in that. I'm saying to you tonight, we have a God who works for in our lives and brings out things and does things for us and is in providentially watching over us. We have so much, so very, very much tonight to be thankful for. And when you get that in your mind and in your heart, it's better than any wine you can drink. It's better than all of the enticements this world might afford. Doesn't mean that, well, I won't go into all about that, but we'll move on. He says this, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. He says, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. I want you to know Jesus is everything the Bible says that he is. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above all others. He was, as the Hebrew letter tells us, and we read over, I believe it's in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. It says this about Jesus Christ in verse 8. It says, but unto the Son he saith, this is God the Father, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That means Jesus, when he spoke, didn't speak like any other man. Jesus didn't walk in this world like any other man. Oh yes, he was a man, but he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isaiah, we said, we'll call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Bible speaks of him as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. The Bible talks about him as Emmanuel, God with us. It talks about him as the way, the truth, and the life, and the door. He is all those things. Brethren, we don't want him to be anything else other than, or want to declare him to be anything else. And if we do declare him to be anything else, it won't change who he is. It'll just make us wrong. We want to be declaring him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we see him as that, we'll see the savor of his good ointments. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. And that means the little churches, the symbol, love to hear. We love to hear about Jesus. We don't want to hear about a Jesus who wants to do something he can't do, or Jesus who would like to save you if you let him, or Jesus who's trying to do all that he can do and can't get it done. Listen, the Jesus of the Bible is a Jesus of love, but he's also a Jesus of power. He didn't try to do or want to do anything. He works his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and there is none that can stay his hand and say, what doest thou? He is verily God. That's the Jesus that's writing, that this dear church is calling out to. It says, draw me, we will run after thee. I'm telling you, until the Lord draws you, you won't run after him. When the Lord draws you, when the Lord moves you, when the Lord causes you, to long for him. And tonight we need him. Have you ever had a meeting where you wanted to feel better about it? You knew the right things to say. You knew the songs you were singing. Very familiar with the hymns. Very familiar with the tunes. But your heart was cold. Sometimes the little churches get cold. Sometimes the assemblies get cold. Sometimes the meetings get cold. Brethren, when we feel that coming over us, let's pray, Lord, warm our hearts. Lord, increase our zeal. Lord, cause me to hunger and thirst more. Lord, don't let me just go through the week so cold and barren and dry. Help me each and every day to draw close to thee. And it takes him to draw us. Listen, you can't just turn it on yourself. You have to look to the Lord. But when you look to the Lord and ask him, Lord, stir my heart. And the scripture says, draw me and we will run after thee. Listen, he doesn't just do that because we ask him. He's done. First of all, we would have never come to him had he not first come to us. We would have never chose him had he not chosen us. We would have never loved him if he had not first loved us. The scripture says, though even after that, as he works with us now, we still need him in our lives to draw us closer to him. Draw me nearer, nearer, the hymn writer wrote, nearer to him. And he says, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. Oh, that's when you're having good fellowship with the Lord. Tonight as we sit together and we have fellowship with one another, if we truly have fellowship at all, we have fellowship with God the Father. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. He's one in our midst. That makes church look a whole lot different when you think about who's going to be there. And you say, well, who's coming to church tonight? And you say, well, so and so and so and so and so and so. But the most important thing is that Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, and I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Listen, when you come to the house of God, you come not just to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters. You come to have communion and fellowship with your Lord, the Lord that we believe lives. Listen, we don't have an empty tomb tonight, do we? We don't have someone in a tomb. There is an empty tomb, and the reason there's an empty tomb is because there's a resurrected Savior seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He says, "We will be glad and rejoice in thee." When we sit together in heavenly places in Christ and feel the presence of the Lord, it's a time of joy and a time of gladness. The gospel will make you happy. The gospel will cause you to rejoice. The gospel, if you're sick, make you feel better. The gospel, if you're poor, make you feel rich. The gospel, if you're cast down, will lift you up. You have soul restoration. You have green pastures and still waters. It gives you hope in this old world that is so full of darkness and hopelessness. Brethren, only one can help us. Only one can supply what we truly need. And it's not me that helps us, and it's not you that helped me. It's the Lord who helps us all. What a help we have in Him. He says, draw me and we will run after thee. The King hath brought me into His chambers. That is who He is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. Tonight, I hope that the most important thing for us to remember tonight is that the Lord does indeed love us. How can we know that He loves us? Well, the Lord has been so good to me. And has He been good to you? That's evidence of His love. Has He been a blessing to you in your life? That's He who began a work in you. If He's begun that work, we'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And those that He paid the sin debt for, He will have with Him in heaven and immortal glory. And if He gave His own Son that we might have eternal life and be with Him, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That means we have a great counselor. He's called Wonderful, right? He's called the Counselor. You need counsel? He's the best counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. You need peace? He's the Prince of Peace. He is our all in all. And He says, thy love more than wine, the upright love thee. And the only way we would ever be upright is because He has lifted us up. But we weren't upright in ourselves. And you see the church saying this. You see the bride saying this in verse 5. She says, I am black but comely. And ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. This is a description of the Lord's church. Tonight when we come in, we look at one another and we just see old sinners walking in. We see all the faults that we have and all the blemishes that we have. And just as we look at the old outside, the old nature of men, there's nothing really beautiful about the church in a natural way when you look just on the outside. You see the faults that we have, the blemishes that we have. And each and every one of us, we can say with the Apostle Paul, ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So what were we without the Apostle Paul said this, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Nothing special about me, nothing special about you. But I'll tell you, it's a beautiful thing tonight for to see those that come in this way as you have tonight. It's pleasing in the sight of the Lord for you to meet to worship Him. He seeketh such to worship Him who worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, how beautiful. One hymn writer said it, and I mentioned it before. Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship Thee. To see God's little children meet to worship the Lord, it's a beautiful thing. We're talking often time about how beautiful the church looks. And in the same minute, tell them how rotten they are and no good they are. Tell them you've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in the next breath, talk about them as the most beautiful sight and the most lovely. You are the friends on this world that most cheer me along life's way. And the reason you're beautiful is because He's washed you in His own blood. And the reason you're black, or the reason that you're tainted with sin, is because sin is. In other words, it's like we are poor and we're rich. We're weak and we're strong. We're blind and yet we can see. Listen, in ourselves we are all those things, but in the Lord we got everything we stand in need of. And that's the beauty of the church. Here she says, I am black, but comely. The word comely means desirable or lovely. She says, I'm black. That means in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I am darkness, but in the Lord, I'm light in the Lord. In other words, I have no strength, but He is my strength. I have no ability. He is my ability. I am black, which means I am broken. I if you look at me in the depths of my core, as the one hymn writer wrote, says, I'm false and full of sin I am. But then he said, went on to say, thou art full of truth and grace. Listen, our salvation isn't in us because we're black. But I'm telling you, our salvation is in Him. And in Him, we're lovely. You are lovely tonight because you've been made accepted in the Beloved. And in yourselves, we're full of sin. No, we're sinners. If anything tonight, we're just sinners who's come saved by grace. That's our trust. That's our hope. And that which makes us fit and worthy is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What He did for us. But that worthiness is a true worthiness that has made us accepted in the Beloved. The only right we have to baptism is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only right we have to the communion table is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only right we have to pray is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope we'll ever have of heaven is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And every blessing that comes to you here in this time world comes as a result of the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. The Lord never hears our prayer and answers them because we deserve them. The Lord hears our prayers and answers them because the Savior died on the cross. Listen, every blessing you've ever received in time or eternal came through the blood of Jesus. Y'all believe that? I believe that. I'm telling you, that's what the bride here believed. I'm black, but comely. I am black in myself, but in the Lord, I'm beautiful. I'm comely through His washing and His cleansing. And it says, as the tents of Kedar. I looked up just what that was, because I didn't have a clue what the tents of Kedar is, and from the best of what I can find, it's like a old hut that looks black on the outside, made of animal hair, and it's been heated by the sun. And if you just look at it, it's a place to live, but it doesn't look like the most inviting place in town to live. It isn't a beautiful place. It's just an old black hut. Reminds me of man in his carnality, man in his flesh. What a mess he is. Black from a black, and I don't mean this color of skin black. I'm talking about black in your heart. I'm talking about an inner darkness, an inner black. Just like the Ephesian letter says. It says it this way. Ye were sometimes darkness. That's what it says. But now you're different. Why? Because you're light in the Lord. And you see, there's still that old darkness part of us, isn't it? That old nature, that old flesh in us. When we come, you look at the church sometimes, she doesn't look so beautiful. She doesn't act so beautiful. We don't always talk real sweet. We're not always the way we ought to be. There's times that we have the old humanity comes out and the flesh will get in a meeting. And God forbid when it gets in the pulpit because it can cause great harm and damage. That's why we need to keep the old body under subjection and follow the leadership of the Lord, because in me, I won't be of any benefit to you. But in Him, I can be of help to God's little children. And the glory will belong to the Lord. If I preach the gospel, it won't be Gary's wisdom that brings it. It'll have to come from a higher place and a better place. That's from heaven itself. It has to be a long distance message. Y'all don't want any local messages, do you? I don't. I'll tell you, that will give honor to man. This gives honor to God. And all praise and honor and glory belongs to the Lord. We can honor man. We never should. But you'll never make man any more than he is. And that is nothing in and of himself. And you'll never make God less than he is. You just will fail to acknowledge him like you and I should and ought. Listen, he's our everything. I can't lift him up high enough. I know tonight without him I have nothing. I'm black. But I pray I'm comely. That means washed in the blood of Christ. Clean. And I may be as the tents of Kedar in the sense of the old outward flesh, but then the same thing, I'm like the curtains of Solomon. I don't know what Solomon's curtains looked like, but I know Solomon wasn't a poor man. I don't believe there was a thing in Solomon's house that was second rate. Do you? I don't believe when Solomon's, what I read of in the Bible about Solomon's palace and what Solomon built, oh, what a house. And the riches of Solomon was so much that when the queen of the south came to see all that Solomon had, she said, I've heard great things about this man, but the half has not been told. I'm telling you, in light of the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, Solomon was poor. Because there was a great, he says in one place, a greater than Solomon was here. Don't you believe a greater than Solomon is here? I do. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this. He says, I am black as the tents of Kedar, just an old black hut, but I also as the curtains of Solomon. And that's what I see the church as. Sometimes we see them as the flesh, in the flesh. You look at them from the outside, they just look like everybody else. But I'll tell you, when you see that little assembly of saints come together, and the manifest presence of the Lord is there, and they sing from their hearts praises unto God, and those preachers come into the stand. You look at them sometimes, they don't look like. I remember one time a minister going in the stand, and I in my flesh thought, boy, what in the world is that man going to say? He didn't look like a preacher. He certainly didn't look like he was going to be able to preach. And he did. And I just pretty much said, oh boy, I don't know what's coming now. And he came up in the stand, and when the Lord finished with it, I felt ashamed of myself for even thinking anything. But what God can do, I'll tell you, He can bless. And when He blesses, what a day that is when we feel His manifest presence. As the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, both of them. She says, look not upon me because I am black. Because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. That's a little child of grace. A church has gotten wrapped up to some degree in the world. And I'll tell you what this world will do. It won't make you better to get on to God. It'll cause you to labor in vineyards where you're really wasting your time. Listen, we have something to do that the Lord has told us to do, and we ought to be about our Father's business. When we go contrary to that and go another way, we the world, and we go in the things of the world, in the way of the world, I'm telling you, we get ourselves in great trouble. And He says, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyards have I not kept. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun had looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. That means the world is not a friend to help you on to God. We sing that in one of our hymns. This world is not a friend that helps us on. I tell you, the friends that you'll find to help you on are found around among the footsteps of the flock, among God's little church, among the assembly of the saints, among those virgins who are upright, who love the Lord. The Apostle Paul talked to that Corinthian church, and he says that I may present you a chaste virgin unto Christ, which means they were pure in doctrine and pure in their ideas and thoughts of Christ. There are many people today preaching Christ, but the Christ they're preaching is not the Christ of the Bible. The Christ of the Bible is a Christ of power. He's not a Christ that's weak. He's not a Christ who's just a good teacher. Christ was the greatest teacher. Christ was the greatest prophet. But He wasn't just a teacher and a prophet. He was the teacher. He was the prophet. He was the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I want us to always remember that Christ is our everything. He is our all in all. He says this, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Brethren, we need fellowship with the Lord. We need to be where He would have us to be. We get away from Him, we need to look to Him and long for fellowship with Him. He says, and why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? There are many people today preaching Jesus, but they're not preaching Jesus the Savior, not preaching in the fullness of the salvation that He's done. And we're not to have fellowship in that regard. We're to see Him as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He says this in verse 8, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. Tonight as we gather, I believe we gathered here where the gospel has been declared. This little church here has been constituted since 1770, but there were brethren that were preaching this gospel a long time before 1770. In the Bible, he says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I believe the Lord will keep that church in this world until he comes again. And we don't need to change it. We don't need to update it. It doesn't need a renewing. That's why we're known as old school or primitive Baptists. And the reason for that is that we don't believe there's any, we don't want to be new and updated. Because that which would be new and updated isn't the original, isn't the accord. We want to go by the footsteps of the flock. And you say, how do we know about the footsteps of the flock? That means we're to follow not just what mama and daddy did, or what grandmama and granddaddy did, but what this Bible teaches. You know, Jeremiah said there was some old paths a long time ago, didn't he? Follow the old paths. Seek for and ask for the old paths and walk therein. We want to stay in the old paths. We want to follow the teachings of God's Word. And when we're there, we'll be preaching and teaching of Jesus, who is everything the Bible says that He is. Brethren, I wish I could have done a little better with this text tonight, but I pray that there's been some benefit to you. And if it has, you give God all the glory and the honor and the praise. And I do appreciate your kind attention. She's on mute.
Okay.